This is Behind the Brush by St. Jack.
I want my makeup artists to learn, and I'm not afraid to tell them like that I love what you've done here. However, this, I would probably recommend that you do this and this and this. Like, always lead with a compliment first, and then, because you obviously don't want to crash and burn their confidence. But yeah, like, I don't want my makeup artist paying money for me and then walking out going, oh, and I'm just saying to them, oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's great. Like, there's no constructive criticism there, and they're learning nothing if you don't give them that feedback.
Hello and welcome back to Behind the Brush. It's me, it's Beth, your host, makeup artist and founder of St. Jack Cosmetics. How are ya? I am good. It has been a remarkably large fortnight. Do you ever go through those periods where like every single night you've got like a dinner booked with somebody else, and then every weekend you're booked up and you're so busy, and then next minute you make a TikTok, and then next minute your face is all over the Daily Mail and Pedestrian TV and bloody the Independent UK and some random news website in Africa? Has that happened to you? Has that happened to you? Because that just happened to me. I made a TikTok and it went viral, and yeah, it has just been an absolute storm of attention that I am really not used to. But if you have any interest in going and having a look at that, I won't explain it on the podcast on this particular episode because I will be here all night. But you can go check out my TikTok at BethWilson_MUA. More importantly, though, from the work perspective, what an amazing couple of weeks I have had, baby. I worked with my graphic designer to finish up the packaging for the second product, and it is, I am telling you, chef's kiss. I love the way the makeup cleaning mist looks, like the bottle with the silver and all of that, but this is like, it's next level. It's like your girl has owned a brand for almost 2 years now. She knows her shit, and this is going to be so amazing. And you guys as makeup artists are going to love it. But this is the kind of thing that is going to touch the lives of just beauty lovers, like regular people who love makeup. And I am so excited. You can hear the excitement in my voice. But I also wanted to thank you because the last episode of the podcast that went live was the fastest downloaded, like the most streams that the podcast has ever had in the first 24 hours. And that is a really gorgeous pat on the back. But I have to say, I think that that's got absolutely nothing to do with me and everything to do with Alex Perrin. If you happen listen to that, you can remind yourself to do that later because this episode is where you're here with me now. If you leave, I will find you. That Wedding Crashers thing. Anyway, look, go back and listen to it if you haven't. If you have listened to it, you'll know that it was so good and she was so amazing that she even made me cry. She literally brought me to tears with her vulnerability and just, yeah, she's such a beautiful person. Oh my God. And it was really emotional for me. I got probably, oh God, I don't know how many, but I got so many DMs after that episode, and really from brand new people who I'd never spoken to before, who didn't follow St. Jack before, didn't know about the show. And you guys are just so grateful. And man, after receiving so many nasty little messages over the last couple of days with the whole TikTok thing, I gotta say, every nice message, you know, is really just a beautiful thing. And I know it meant a lot to Alex as well. So thank you guys. It really is my privilege to share these stories and to give a platform to people like Alex and like our guests today to share their stories and their advice and really be part of building a community of artists and beauty lovers that are going to lift each other up. And speaking of lifting each other up, I could not have asked for a better guest to have on this episode today. Mia Connor. She is one of the most well-recognized makeup artists in Australia and maybe the world. I don't know. She's living on the beautiful Gold Coast. She originally studied makeup at Napoleon Purtis and then studied at the Frampton Institute, which we'll go into a little bit more detail on the show. Then she went full-time freelance and she opened her own studio where, the genius that she is, she actually taught herself, or learnt professionally, I'm sure. Probably didn't teach herself. But she did other beauty services like spray tans and hair extensions to financially support herself while she built up her clientele and her makeup portfolio and her brand as an artist. God, what a legend. In 2015, then, it was absolutely no surprise that Mia was named as Makeup Artist of the Year at the Australian Beauty Industry Awards. And in every year since, and I can say this because I've been following her since then, her career has grown from strength to strength as she tours her world-famous masterclasses to every corner of Australia and the globe. With a signature style refined over her almost 20 years in the industry, Mia is simply one of the best. She is someone you have begged me to get on this show, and my God, I did it. And after having such great vibes with her today, it's not hard to see why, and I hope that we will meet again. But that's enough from me. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mia Connor. Mia Connor, a very warm welcome to Behind the Brush. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you? Thank you for having
me. I'm good, of course. I've just been telling you that I've been having a little bit of drama today, and if you want to check that out, go have a look at my TikTok. But I am very happy to just be here today and just talk makeup with you. If Beth 6 years ago could know that I'd be here today chatting with you, she'd be like, no way.
Oh, stop.
It's true. Really, like, there's been a couple pinch me moments like that with this, and you're definitely one of them for me. So we'll jump straight into it. And I'm curious to know, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, in, like, let's go back to primary school when children are kind of, yeah, like, what do you want to be? Like, I wanted to be an artist because I was always into art in school, but I just thought that it was like so like impossible and out of reach, like almost like I've used the analogy before, like I want to be an astronaut, that type of like idea. So yeah, I did want to do that, but then I also figured that like the idea of being a makeup artist was I'd have to move to America and just work in films, like, and all of that would be in Hollywood. Like, this is obviously a very, like, yeah, naive interpretation of my idea back then of what makeup is. And maybe it was even true back then, but it's certainly obviously not the case now. But yeah, that's what I wanted to be. So here we are.
Here we are. So if you wanted to be an artist, you mean like kind of paint on canvas vibes, yeah, or all sorts of different things?
Yeah. So I was mainly into drawing, but ironically I was into drawing a lot of faces, but more so like abstract faces. And I did my HSC because I went to school in New South Wales. So we did our HSC back there, and I picked up an extra unit of art. Like I did 3-unit art instead of 2-unit art. And my major works were like what you submitted for your like major work was like this, all these series of abstract faces and stuff. So it's pretty ironic that like it's done a bit of a, you know, a loop around, and now I'm actually working on real people's faces.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's like foreshadowing. It's like you always kind of had that destiny,
yeah,
to do it somehow. And that's what was possible at the time. So yeah. When did you first start getting into makeup then? Did you have kind of just an interest in it as a teenager growing up? Like, did you have a moment around that time where you were like, this is something I really love more than something that's just part of my everyday routine?
Yeah, I mean, if we go back a little bit to like high school, I did my year 10 work experience in a beauty salon. So after I did that 1 week, I then wanted to become a beauty therapist, and my mum was like, no, you can finish school because I wanted to drop out. Yeah. I was like, okay. And then I also really loved hair as well. Like I was always the kid braiding everybody's hair. I was a pretty like mean braider, and I remember cutting some girls' hair in high school and just always hair focused. And I remember every time we'd go to the hairdressers with my mom, I'd be sweeping the floors. I'd want to sweep the floors for the hairdresser. So I was pretty obsessed with that. So I guess I was always like wanting to be in that beauty area, but I didn't pursue any of that until I actually spent a good 10 years as a paralegal working in law firms, both here in Australia and in the UK. And kind of during that time, I did a makeup course because there were a couple of girls that were in my area that had done the Napoleon course. And they were making extra money, you know, doing weddings and formals and stuff on the side. And I was always kind of like a bit of a hustler, like always looking for something, like I guess a little bit entrepreneurial that I could make more money with. But always my intention was like for more of a side hustle. I never thought that I could turn this into something that what it is today. But yeah, that's, I used to be a paralegal. So yeah, I had to make the decision to.
This is the craziest thing because obviously, I mean, I've been following you for a long time, but I know I recently heard the expression a slashy, like you're a slashy. So I'd be like a makeup artist slash brand founder slash content creator or whatever. Yeah. And my understanding is there was a period of time where you were a paralegal slash dental nurse slash makeup artist.
Yes.
Is that true?
Well, yeah, my first
just
got to
cover all the possible. Yes. Career basis, okay. Right there.
Let's look at my resume. So yeah, when I left school, I was like, okay, I gave myself a bit of an ultimatum of like, you either get a job or you have to go to TAFE. I had no want to go to university ever. Like once I finished high school, I'm like, that's it, I'm done. Like I couldn't wait to leave. So the first job that I could get was as a dental nurse. So I did that for 3 months. Like the original job I went for was actually as a periodontist assistant, which if anyone doesn't know what that is, it's pretty much like dental day surgery, which I realized that I have a fear of blood at that point. So that didn't work out. So I got down to me and one other girl that was, I was only 18 at the time, and this girl had far more experience than me, and we had to do a half a day work experience in the theater, and I was literally going to pass out. But I was like, girl, you've got to look interested, acting, no matter what happens, like, you can't faint, like I need this job, otherwise you've got to go to TAFE and like study something. So obviously they picked up that, you know, she's not so good in theater. So I didn't get it, but they offered me a job in the orthodontic practice instead. So I did that for 3 months, and even honestly sucking spit off kids' dirty teeth from their braces was the blood that was involved in that, which wasn't even a lot.
Oh my God.
But that was too much.
That was so visceral.
Yeah, I'm like literally trying to suck this spit with like without watching what I was doing so that I wouldn't like pass out. So yeah, I spent only 3 months of that, and then I was again looking, how can I further this? I was going to study to be a dental hygienist. Why? Where's the passion coming from? So anyway, I didn't do that, and then another job came up. That's when I switched over to the legal work, and then yeah, I stayed there for 10 years, but in the midst of that, I did do my first makeup course at Napoleon, and just to literally have a side hustle and learn how to do my own makeup properly. And having said that, I was never really that makeup obsessed. Like I could probably say that I'm still wearing now a very similar style of makeup to when I first started wearing makeup at 16. Like I don't wear that much eyeshadow. I'm more of a liner girl. I don't like wearing too much makeup. And yeah, it's been pretty consistent since then, since I was 16. So yeah, my Facebook memories are very similar.
Yeah, exactly. So you did the Napoleon course. You were in your early 20s. You were still in New South Wales.
Yes.
Yeah, 23. And then at some point soon after that, you moved to the Gold Coast, right?
Yeah. 2 years later, I decided that I actually really love doing makeup and I was kind of okay at it. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll look at other courses, and I was going to move to Sydney and do the Cameron Jane one, but it was like over a year period. So I was like, I've already been in the workforce for a few years. I don't really want to be on a student wage for a whole year. So there was the Peter Frampton one up here on the Gold Coast. So it was 3 months fast-tracked full-time. And yeah, I moved up here by myself, and I love the weather up here so much. I just never left.
I think about that all the time. Every time I come up to the Gold Coast, like have a cheeky little holiday in Burleigh or something, I come home to Melbourne and I'm like, that's it, I'm moving.
It's honestly so good.
It's just so much nicer up there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But you did the quick little course at the Frampton yes. Institute.
Yeah.
For anyone listening who doesn't know who Peter Frampton is, he was an Academy Award-winning makeup artist. So that would have been pretty epic. I don't know if the institute is still going. I think I looked it up. It's maybe stopped now.
Yeah, I think it has. He was the lead makeup artist on Braveheart. Like, that was his big accolation. Epic. Yeah. Accolation. That's not even a word.
I didn't pick up on that.
We're here for makeup, not English. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, he was quite a character, and yeah, it was a lot of special effects though. So clearly that's not what I'm doing at all. And I actually was really bad at it because my brain is very much OCD, symmetrical perfection, which is why I excel better in beauty work for photo shoots where everything needs to be very like quite polished. But yeah, my bullet wound holes were literally perfectly symmetrically round. And Peter's just, he's so such a character. He would just literally say, yes, it's fucked, Mia. Your bullet wounds are fucked. So I was like, okay, I can see what you see here. But yeah, and I didn't enjoy it. Like, I like making everyone beautiful. I don't love putting dirt on people's fingernails and giving them a black eye and all of the prosthetics. I just didn't really enjoy it. So I've definitely found my niche in beauty.
And it's a whole other thing as well when you're kind of doing special effects. Like, if you were doing it for film or television, it's a whole other issue with like continuity. And it's like, it's not, it's a very different kind of creative expression. Yeah, I wouldn't be into that either. I think even a couple of times for like Halloween over the last 10 years, they're like, oh, Beth, can you put a bruise on me? I'm like, no, I could put some, you know, really dark red liquid lipstick on you and pretend it's blood. But that's about all I'm interested in. Sorry, hon.
Yeah. I think it's hard to tap into both sides of your brain to, you know, be really good at both of those things. Like, yeah, so
yeah, I think they're two completely different things. I know that some people have actually asked me to try and get some special effects artists on the show, and just knowing my own limitations, I wouldn't even know what to ask. So I'm happy to do it if someone's got a suggestion, but it's a completely different skill and artistry in itself. But I heard you speak to Vanessa Barney on another podcast, The Makeup Insider, which for everyone listening, you should go check it out because she's great. And that was towards the end of last year. And you were talking about how you were still a paralegal and you moved up to the Gold Coast, and one of your part-time like jobs at the time for makeup was working in the strip club.
Yeah.
And you were doing eyes for the dancers.
Yeah.
Please tell me about this in detail because my jaw was on the floor. I was listening to that and I was like, that is so fucking lit. Like, I loved it.
I did that job for a year. I'd paid really well. They were regular invitations to please, like, let's further your career onto the dance floor. They were always looking for new girls, like, to come up on stage. But, yeah, no, I didn't go down that path, but much respect to all of the girls that definitely do that. But it was insightful for me. Like, I was very naive, because I would have been 25 then, I think. Yeah. And I don't know, I'd never been into a strip club yet. Sorry. So especially this particular strip club, because what I discovered was that different clubs have different licenses as to what the girls can and can't do. And I mean, my understanding, I guess, of strip clubs was that when you see in all the American movies, they're always like, don't touch the girls, like hands off the girls. Whereas in this club, it was kind of like free for all, and girls would come and sit in my chair and be like, oh my God, my nipples are so sore today. Like, and I'm like, they're going, what? What do you mean?
Oh my God.
I had this guy just like pulling on my nipples all last night, blah, 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 but just so open and candid about it. And I was just like, what the hell? So yeah, like that was like such an eye opener to me. And like, there was a couple of occasions where I had gone onto the floor and like seen everything, you know, all the girls at work. And yeah, it was a bit of an eye opener for me because I hadn't been into a strip club before. So seeing the girls go from smoky eyes in my chair to like grinding butt naked on like straddling some guy was a little bit of an eye opener for me. But like, again, like kudos to them for doing that. A lot of them are putting themselves through university and just literally killing it, like with money. Like, back then it was quite lucrative. I have no idea what it is now. But yeah, so that was a year, which kind of came around at a good time because I had opened my studio shortly after that. So it was kind of like going to be paying my part of my rent, like for the studio that I had. So we ended up getting fired actually, but nothing to do with us. But, you know, I'd had enough by then. Like, and we did have a good gig because it was literally like some makeup artists in strip clubs. You see them in nightclubs. They're sitting in the toilets waiting for girls and off, you know, you see it in America, they'll be selling mints or whatever, or selling, you know, yes, this, and they yes. do it for tips. And back then, like, makeup artists would sit in the toilets in strip clubs and like it would just be up to the girls to like pay them, here's 10 bucks for some eyes or whatever. Whereas this job, I was only doing 1 hour a night. I think it was like 7 to 8 p.m. It was perfect. Like, it wasn't late in the night. And I think we were getting 80 bucks an hour, which I was stoked with, like, back then. This is like going back.
Heaven.
Yeah, years ago now. So, yeah, it was a good little bit of pocket money for me.
Love it as a good bit of pocket money, but also something that just kind of occurred to me was like, you would get quite a bit of creative expression, I guess, and also allowance, like that you could kind of play with like a more dramatic smoky eye or maybe play with color, because they wouldn't, I suspect I'm making assumptions here, they wouldn't have minded that. Whereas like a lot of the time now it's like very soft and like I want a bronzy glowy, but like you could really kind of go for it. And I just know that when people let you do that, it's just so much fun, but it's also such a great way to learn.
Yeah, learning and also working on speed, because we had to be as quick as possible and just learning on different faces. So, yeah, it was a good experience. And, like, I guess from that I kind of became, like, the go-to glamour, like, makeup artist. Like, I did a lot of – when I was starting out, I did a lot of those model portfolio shoots where the girls are on the beach in bikinis. I've done Penthouse, Picture Magazine, like, you know, full – like pretty much porn, like open leg photo shoots, videos, who knows what's going on. I've worked with porn stars and prostitutes. I've worked with all of them, and a lot of them, the look back then was very glamour with, you know, the really black smoky eyes. And yeah, I did a lot of that work that I was definitely known for that. So I got a lot of practice with the black smoky eyes.
Yeah. I love it. I love a good black smoky eye. Yeah. So you just mentioned a couple of minutes ago that kind of around that time you opened your studio.
Mm.
So is that around about the same time as well that you said, see ya, paralegal, don't need ya?
It was exactly like I literally left one to do the other. I was literally like I had already mentally left the building like with that job. Once I decided that I was going to become full-time with makeup artistry, I didn't just do it to be go and freelance full time. I literally consecutively opened my salon to time it with like Friday I was leaving the office and Monday I'm now a makeup store owner. So I was literally using the time that I had in the office on the phone to like people setting up the fit out and all that sort of stuff. Like a bit naughty, but
what they don't know won't hurt them. And we're all guilty of that. Like
It was all ready to go. So luckily my partner at the time, he was a tradie. So I had two salons, like not at once, but I moved from one after 2 years to another and he did both of the fit out. So I was super lucky in saving money there. But I had it, for 13 years. I closed it just before COVID, which was the best timing ever. Ironically, because I was traveling too much and never there. And then we all stopped traveling.
So what were you doing in the studio? Like, so if you stopped kind of working as a paralegal on Friday and then you started back in the studio on Monday, like your first day, what did those first few like weeks, months, even years look like? Like, because obviously makeup is, you know, busier for freelancers, you know, Friday, Saturday or whatever. So was it shoots? Yeah. Was it just kind of, you know, girls coming in for a formal? What was the tea with that?
Well, I implemented spray tanning. I built like a spray tanning room into the studio and I also started doing hair extensions as well. So I kind of needed to look for other services that I could offer to fill in the gaps, you know, because like you said, event makeup, it's all very weekend orientated. And I was doing some photo shoots, but a lot of them, I guess, were on weekends and stuff. They weren't like the photo shoots I do now where it's like a full day on a Monday or a Wednesday or whatever. It would literally be like in and out, hair and makeup, and that was it. There was no half day, full day back then. So, yeah, I even did a brow waxing course and a lash tinting course at one point to really fill in the gaps, but I didn't really do that long. And then I ended up subcontracting, like renting a space to an eyebrow threading person, Rena, who she kind of just was one of the first to bring threading to the Gold Coast, eyebrow threading. So she approached me, and so I rented space to her and was looking for ways to cover my rent.
Yeah. Well, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And I did that I've been doing masterclasses for over 10 years now. So once I started doing my masterclasses, I dropped everything else, like the spray tanning, the hair extensions, because the masterclasses filled the financial void of those other services, and I hated doing them anyway. So, I mean, I did a mean spray tan, but I mean, breathing in all of that spray tan, you know, every time there was a festival, it'd be like 30 spray tans in a day. It's just not a fun time. So
no,
I was thankful to get rid of those services.
So how long after opening your studio did you feel? I'm kind of curious, at what point do you get to the thought process of, I'm ready with my skills where I'm at, that I can actually start teaching others? Like, when did you get to that point?
Well, it was never a case of me saying, oh, I'm ready, I'm going to do this. It was more so people were asking me, like, do you do masterclasses? Like, do you teach? Like, and at that point, I've participated in a couple of masterclasses, but I'd never considered myself or anyone wanting to learn off me. So until, yeah, people were asking me, because back then we had Facebook as the social media platform. So people were following along and asking if I taught makeup, and then I decided to put some Gold Coast masterclasses on. And then after that, obviously it gets documented online, then people from Sydney and Melbourne and all the capital cities, Canberra and Adelaide and Hobart and Perth, they were all asking, like, will you come to Sydney? Will you come to Perth? Like, blah, 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 blah. So that's how the masterclasses happened. I never thought, you know, that I got to a point in my career where I was like, right, I'm going to do masterclasses, because I'd never even considered doing them at all. I just didn't think of myself like that yet.
Which is so crazy, because you're so good at it. I remember it would have been so long ago now. I think it was like pre-COVID, because I remember you did a masterclass with The Secret Fox. It must have been Christmas 2019, because COVID wasn't a thing yet. And I think you were saying, like, the best thing that you can do after you watch a masterclass is to go and, like, do it on somebody else, like ASAP, right? Like, if you learn how to do a look, go do it on someone so that you can, like, just actually get that done. And I did one of your ones with The Secret Fox, and it was for the smoke bomb eye.
Oh yeah.
And I just remember this friend I had at the time, which in hindsight, what a waste, because she's not still around anymore. I did the best smoke bomb eye on her ever. And I was like, yes, Mia Connor. I think I had like a couple hundred followers, and I like tagged you. I was like, thanks so much to Mia Connor for teaching me how to do this. No. And it was just so nice.
The good old smoke bomb.
Oh, the smoke bomb. And I think even then, like, yeah, you like commented on my post. You were like, good job. Even though the photo was like horrendous. So I guess it wasn't great. So like, at what point did you feel like you had really like developed that style, and like the way that you were kind of presenting those masterclasses, where here is a bridal look or here is the smoke bomb eye? Like, how did you create that look? Like, what was going on?
The smoke bomb tagline is still, it's a bit cringy for me, but whatever, like, it was good marketing at the time.
Is it?
It is a little bit. It's a bit like your first Hotmail address, like when you look back and you think of what was your first Hotmail address, and yeah, you see the reaction is like cringe. So yeah, I don't know, but it was, I always like, I guess I like marketing, so I was always, you know, looking for something different to stand out instead of just calling it another, oh, learn how to do a smoky eye. Like, I wanted to come up with a catchy phrase that was remembered, like, and it was remembered because people like you are still bringing it up till this day. And I've actually brought it back. I brought it back a little bit with my content creator class, where I'm incorporating a little bit more of those looks, but I've revamped it to the Sultry Content Creator Masterclass. again, I may look back on that and regret it, but
whatever. I feel like we all do shit like that where we like brand things a certain way, and then a few years later you're like, what was I thinking? Yeah. But it was memorable, and the look itself was like,
yeah,
it was pretty great. I mean, I remember you used in that particular masterclass, you used like a tiny little Smashbox palette, and I remember like hustling my fat ass down to Mecca to buy that exact palette, just because I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna be Bea Connor
makeup. I've sold for Mecca. Oh my God.
I know. Where's your commission, babe? Interrupting this episode of Me Talking with more of Me Talking. It's Beth, the founder of St. Jack, and I just wanted to quickly remind you that the makeup cleaning mist is a must-have for your professional artistry kit. Made with the highest quality alcohol so it absorbs quickly and smells so good, the mist kills the bacteria on the surface of all of your products, like your eyeshadow palettes, bronzers, blushes, everything. So everything can stay nice and clean between clients. Proudly Australian made. Get your hands on the mist online at www.stjack.com.au and use code BRUSH15 to join the hundreds of other artists like Tennille J, Penny Antoine, and Jack Kale who always have the mist by their side. Now, let's get back to the show. So I read on an Instagram post that you made in 2016, because I scroll all the way back. It took me...
Okay, not creepy at all.
It's very creepy. Thank you for finally admitting it. Most people would hear that and they're like, yeah, it's cool. Very creepy. But no, you
that's
read...
Good. I like that you do your research. It's good.
I do. Got to be prepared. In 2016, you made a post and you were like, people who know me know that I'm like really scared of public speaking, but like I'm really trying. And then in 2019... Yeah. You literally toured the Content Creator Masterclass all over the country, as well as New Zealand, the US, and 10 countries in Europe. What the F? Like, how do you go from being terrified of public speaking to then organizing like an international Mr. Worldwide tour of your classes? Like, that's crazy.
Well, Valium. Valium works wonders.
Oh my God, tell me about it, sis. Last night I had to pop a cheeky belly. No.
Yeah. Look, I have never taken Valium until I had to present. I was doing the Beauty Expo. That was my first like proper on stage thing, and I started crying before I had to go on. So I was going on for Crown Brush Australia, and I think it's something to do with the stage. I just freak out, and like when I get nervous, my hands shake, and then obviously you're not going to do a great wing liner if you've got like shaking hands. Plus they film you. You're, you know, like filmed up on this massive board behind you and they zoom right in. So yeah, it's just pure adrenaline. So I was very nervous. Like I was never a good public speaker. I would go bright red in the face. I'd run out of breath and nearly pass out because I'd be trying to say the whole thing like in one go. And I dreaded it. I hated it so much. So my first Gold Coast masterclasses, I feel like, yes, I was really nervous. My hands were shaking and I was running out of air. And I do remember one makeup artist revisiting the masterclass, like coming back, I don't know, a year or two later saying, I did, like she'd done one class and then she came back to do the next and was like, I remember, like I could see from the back of the room, your hands were shaking. I'm like, oh, thanks for that. Thanks for drawing attention to that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, once you do more of them, like the fear does go, and like when you're on the same level, like on the ground level with all of the people, that's a different experience than when you're on stage, for me anyway. So when my first stage experience, which was my first Valium experience, got to the convention center and was freaking out, and I remember going up to Tanya and Susan from Crown, and like Susan was like, oh, you look like you're about to cry. And I mean, you never say that to someone that looks like they're about to cry, because they cry. And I did. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, like people are going to see me crying. Like I was so embarrassed. And I remember I got into the Crown Brush stand and I threw myself on the ground. Like I was ducking down under their tables so that no one could see me, because I was so embarrassed, because I just got into such a state of crying. And they were looking at me like, what the fuck? Like, what are we going to do? Like, she's meant to be going on stage for us. And then I was like, Tanya was great. She was like, here, have this Valium. I'm like, give me the Valium. So anyway, I took the Valium. I think I had 1.5 Valium that day. So I was like literally a zombie, but so exhausted and such like so frazzled still. And Ray Morris was there and she was talking to Crown, and Crown was telling Ray, we've got this artist that's quite scared of going on stage. And Ray's like, oh my God, who is it? Like, and they're like, it's Mia. And I'd done one of Ray's masterclasses before. And Ray was like, oh my God, I'll come out and give her a pep talk. So she came out the back and gave me a pep talk. And I'm still like shitting myself about going on stage. You're getting mic'd up. And anyway, she's like, I can MC for you instead. I can do a way better job, like, and introduce you instead of like the current MC. I can really hype up the crowd for you. And I'm like, what? I don't want the crowd to be there. I certainly don't want them hyped up. So she was so nice that she was literally going to come on stage and assist me. Like, that's going to calm my nerves. Ray Morris assisting me, some little upstart makeup artist, like, that's hair, my hands are shaking and I've got Ray Morris trying to pass me brushes. So that didn't happen. But I was like very grateful for that. And then, yeah, any stage stuff that I do, like where I'm literally mic'd up and on a big stage, I do have to have a Valium to go on because I can't stop my shaking hands. So that's how, in a nutshell.
Well, you know what? Fucking good on you for saying the truth. Not like, oh, you know, it's hard, but we get through it. Sometimes a Valium does wonders for these sorts of things. But I mean, obviously you do get a lot out of it. If you like, it's one thing to kind of like, I know you were doing a lot of work with Crown at the time and then to kind of go on for Beauty Expo, but like to then organize independently a tour kind of all over the world, like to hit like different cities in the States and then go literally all over Europe. Like, what is it, I guess, that makes it worth it? Like, if you get so nervous and like you kind of build yourself into a state some of the time, what is it that you love educating so much? Like, why?
Well, I mean, once you get off the stage, you're like, that was awesome. It's literally the first 10 minutes that you're on stage that you're like, oh my God, like dying. And obviously the lead up to that. But then once you almost go on a high, like once you're up there and you get off stage and you know, hopefully you did a good job and people were really receptive to you, then yeah, like you walk off going, that was actually amazing. I want to do it again. But it's just part of being a human, I think. It's like fight or flight mode. So, but the educating for me, I love it. Like I love whether it's on stage or, you know, doing my group masterclasses or my one-on-one masterclasses where I can actually have that moment with a makeup artist that I can change their artistry for the better and finally, you know, see the full light bulb moment go off in their head, like where explaining to them and demonstrating something to them. So it might be so simple to them, but it changes like their artistry dramatically, but they've never had somebody, it's like they can't see the forest for the trees sometimes. Like they just need, yeah. I mean, we've all experienced it in all elements of life. Sometimes you're like, oh my God, I never thought of doing it like that. How simple and how like, why didn't I try this before? But you know, we're all makeup artists that are kind of like out for ourselves on some level. It's not really a group activity, is it? Like it's a real solo career path. So I love being able to share my knowledge because I didn't do any assisting work. I had to learn everything like that that I'm now passing on to other makeup artists just by trial and error. I guess I am really good at explaining in detail, you know, how to get from A to B. And the things that you may encounter along the way and the ways to fix those things, rather than some teachers that I've encountered can be lazy teachers. They don't explain themselves because they don't know how to explain. Like, you know how you make your bed every day? If you had to explain to somebody how you make your bed every day, you would be like, well, I just make it. Like, so you've got to break teaching right down into step by step. And I think some teachers don't do that enough to be beneficial to an artist. And also they can fall into the trap of being a bit lazy with their critique. I will always critique. I want my makeup artist to learn, and I'm not afraid to tell them like that I love what you've done here. However, this, and this, I would probably recommend that you do this and this. Like, always lead with a compliment first, and then because you obviously don't want to crash and burn their confidence. But yeah, like I don't want my makeup artist paying money for me and then walking out going, oh, and I'm just saying to them, oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's great. Like there's no constructive criticism there, and they're learning nothing if you don't give them that feedback. So yeah, that's why I love teaching. I just love relaying all the info that I've had to gather.
You've had to hunt and gather for yourself over all these many years.
Yeah, hunting and gathering the info.
It's very true though, because it's like, you know, I've been to lots and lots of, you know, different classes and courses and all this sort of stuff. And it's like sometimes there are those ones and they can like tell you like good things and like what products to use. And in theory, like it works this way. And then you kind of leave and you're like, oh, cool. Like I think I should go out and I should buy these products and then I'll be better.
Mm.
But it's like, it's much better rather than just getting a pat on the back and being like, good job. Like you kind of completed the class and that's what you need. It's like to actually know if there's something I could have done here better.
Mm.
Let me know.
Yeah.
Because I'll actually leave here a better artist, and that's going to further my career as well as my skill. I think just in general, not even just in makeup artistry, in any kind of education, that's so important.
Because
it doesn't have to be like a critique in a way that's negative. It's like, all right, well, let's work on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's a moment with all of the classes that you've done, because you do so many kinds, you just kind of mentioned, you do the ones where you're on stage, whether that be kind of representing your brand or something else. So you do the ones that are like on the ground, you know, with like a smaller group of artists where it's like, you do like look and learns where it's like they watch and then they do it on their own model, right?
Yeah.
Is there a moment that really stands out to you that you remember where you feel like you had a really big impact on a makeup artist or someone in particular while doing this work, like where something really amazing happened or you could see a really like big change happen in them?
That's a tough question. Was this on the list?
It was. Oi, don't expose me and my list of questions. Everyone just thinks I come up with this shit on the fly.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yep. She's good on her feet. Nothing like, not one particular person stands out, but I mean, I have got regular makeup artists that I interact with that they, you know, will always message me on Instagram and be like, how do you do this? How do you, they'll ask me advice for all different things. And eventually they do come and do a masterclass most of the time. So building those like relationships, and then finally, like they've got trust in you because you've answered all their questions, then they come and do the class, you get to see their artistry. And then you get to see their artistry change because you've coached them. And then after the class is finished, they continue to message you like, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? I'm trying this. And I'll continue to critique them and like coach them. And then you see, you know, their work completely evolve and they're finally kicking the goals that they've always wanted to. Like a perfect example is just today, a makeup artist who knows you, little Sylvie. You know Sylvia?
Yep.
Yeah. She has been messaging me for I don't know how long, but we really like got on well. And then she came and did both of my masterclasses and she messages me. We message each other regularly and she just uploaded a reel because I've been coaching her on her reels and like, you know, this is great, but next time do this, like do this, you know, this will work for you better. And she messaged me today, super happy. Like she kicked a goal because one of her reels that she posted got like the most ever views, I think 17,000 views or something. And it'll probably be far more by the time anyone listens to this podcast. But just like moments like that where you're like, oh, like me giving her help and advice like has finally like been the turning point a little bit for her in what she wanted to like achieve. So moments like that.
That's 100% a great answer to the question I did prepare that
I talk a lot.
That I said to you. No, that's 100% what I mean. Like it just must be, I can only imagine, so fulfilling to see kind of the advice and support that you give people, like not just in the class but like beyond, really kind of have that impact. Yeah, she messaged me last night and she told me about that one. I was like, that's lit, that's so good, like good on you, like keep going, you know, it's all you got to keep doing in this day and age with content. But that's a whole other story. Am I right in thinking that you are coming to Melbourne soon-ish, so maybe there's some masterclasses coming up soon for people to come to? Is that not announced?
So Melbourne, Well, no, it hasn't been announced yet, but I'm struggling to find time in my calendar.
Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully you do.
Yeah. I'm definitely coming next year. I feel like we're literally on almost three months left of the year, 4 or 3 months. And I like to set my masterclasses down like 3 months ahead, no less, so that it gives me time to market and hopefully fill them. But with Melbourne, I should have set it down because I've been getting asked by Melbourne makeup artists for so all through COVID, like when, and Melbourne was my strongest venue for masterclasses, like always. Like I've done Melbourne sometimes 4 times in a year when I was starting my masterclasses up. There's just so many makeup artists down there. So yes, coming soon. It'll be early next year, and then I'll do one in Cairns. I'll go back to Cairns early January, I think. And then I've got my Sydney one, which I think there's literally one spot on my content creator one in November. The bridal one's full. And I've got Gold Coast in October. And then I've got a look and learn for the Everyday Woman also in October, which is not for makeup artists. It's just for anyone that loves makeup.
Well, it sounds like for the one ticket that is left to the content creator one, for whoever's listening to this, it's like the Hunger Games, guys. There's one ticket left. One of you can get it. But when you do come, that'll be exciting, and I'll let everyone know who follow me here, because I know that so many people have been asking me to get you on the show. So they're the kinds of people who would love to learn from you.
Oh, that's nice.
I am interested. Like, you are so in demand for bridal, even still to this day. You still do bridal, special events, red carpet, like glamour, right? And you got shoots going on, you got the masterclasses, like all the dates you just rolled off. First of all, I'm tired just describing that. And so it's like, I know for me, when I've got so many different balls in the air, that I can start to feel like I'm being spread really thin. I'm just interested, like, do you feel like you thrive on the kind of hustle of it all? Or do you sometimes struggle with, like, I've got so much to do, I don't know how I'm going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely I prefer to be busier than not. I don't like having too much downtime. And as a freelancer, I think most freelancers are the same, because we are self-employed usually, and everything, the buck stops with us. We have to motivate ourselves constantly to do other things other than our bookings. Like, we have to do our own marketing, make the content, like all of the things to keep the wheels in motion. And I find that can be quite hard to stay focused if you're not constantly busy. So I do prefer to be busier than not. And I do definitely, I guess, thrive off the hustle. And I've got big goals that I want, you know, ticked off in certain time frames. And I am very aware of, if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So the hustle is like, there's an end game, of course. But I also find sometimes in the past as a freelancer, you can, when you do have downtime, you won't use it perhaps productively, and you'll go to the, oh, this is me speaking, I'd go to the beach or I'd just mess around. I'm a procrastinator as well. So this year, I've really knuckled down and I'm just like work, 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 work. And even if I don't want to do certain stuff around furthering my business and stuff, I'm just making myself do it. So yes, it's a bit difficult, especially when I've got an online booking system where people can just book whenever they want. So sometimes you'll wake up in the next morning and someone's booked in a bunch of things. And if you look too far into your calendar, you're like, holy shit, like that's when you can start to get a bit overwhelmed. But I just try to take it day by day, and I try not to work Sundays. And if I'm getting super busy, I'll go into my calendar and I'll start blocking out days so that I can just have a little bit of reprieve.
Yeah, I think it's important to make sure that you are still having that downtime. But in complete contrast to that, because Sis never sleeps, aka you, a few years ago, three or so years ago, you started journaling on your Instagram using the hashtag shit Connie says.
Yes.
And in this, like, kind of, it kind of just became like, I suppose, like a way for you to like caption your posts, but also give like a bit more information. But it wasn't always like, sometimes it was like really tangible tips about technique, about how you use like a certain look, but often it was more really like about your mentality, or like tips about running a business, or like, you know, sometimes you would call bullshit on like habits that like people or artists in our industry have created over time. And I'm just interested to know, like, why was doing that important to you, and like giving back in that way? Because, you know, your content is so visually pleasing that you could probably just get away with being like, here's another gorgeous photo, without adding that extra layer? So like, why is that important to you?
Well, I mean, back then you could have got away with just a beautiful picture. And like everyone knows that, you know, a few years ago, everyone's pictures did far better on Instagram, but now they don't. And, you know, video is preference now. But in addition to that, you need to kind of capitalize on every element of social media that's offered to you, which is in a caption as well. So, you know, having a caption just writing, you know, oh, you know, glam for Mary for her 21st birthday, like no one gives a shit. Like that is the most boring caption ever. It doesn't stand out and it doesn't make your audience like want to follow you. It doesn't demonstrate your personality and your quirks. It doesn't give them any value at all other than seeing a pretty picture. So I was using that educational captions, I guess, as a way to show my personality, which I find you can follow people on Instagram just for their personality sometimes. Like they could even be a shit makeup artist and you might be like, oh, I actually enjoy watching her or following her or him or whatever. So I wanted to kind of not be like, not showcase myself as like, you know, I guess someone that I would if I was back working in the law firm, professional Mia, like, you know, very clean cut and like well-spoken. I didn't want to, you know, no smoke and mirrors. I just wanted to show people this is how I am, this is how I talk. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. So there was that element, but also like gaining followers and giving them a reason to follow you. And then also eventually like the end game for me is that, you know, maybe one day they will come and do my masterclass because I've kind of built myself to be hopefully a trusted educator or, you know, a leader in my field. Like I'm trying to demonstrate that I on some level know what I'm talking about. And then hopefully, yeah, they will come and book a masterclass or they will buy an eyeliner off me. But I also love writing. Like I teach this element in my content creator masterclass and people often be like, but how the hell do you like, block out time to draft up these captions, but they honestly just come so like I love writing. So it just literally I can just write a caption like straight up and post it and really just think about what is in the picture that's standing out that I can write about. So you just got to really focus on that. But that's the reasons why I incorporated the captions, because I'm just trying to utilize social media and keep my audience engaged. And also, you know, I'm happy to help. It's just an added layer of my education for my masterclasses, a taster.
Love it. It's all so well considered. And it's so true. You know, I think I really do, even for myself, like I sometimes question it. You'd be like, glam for blah, blah, blah on her birthday. She is wearing, and then you like tag the brands and the exact products. It's kind of like, I even see people are moving away from that now and they're like, comment if there's any particular product you want.
Yes.
Because it's like, no one really is reading that. Like no. Either the reel or the TikTok or whatever you're making is engaging enough on its own, like visually, that people will enjoy that. Or you're absolutely right. It's got to be like what you're saying, whether it be in the captions. I'm curious to know what's your take then on kind of like talking to camera. You do sometimes quite a bit with like tutorials on stories and things like that. Do you think that that's really important for people to pick up on as well?
Yes. Yes and no. Like the makeup artists, you'll get some makeup artists that are like, oh, I just don't, I hate social media. Like I hate talking to camera. I just want to do makeup. And I always come back to like, choose which path you want to go with makeup. If you don't want to start making money off your social media, then don't invest too much time in it. If you're already super busy as a makeup artist and you're booked and busy, who cares about social media? You've got the work, because you're wasting time like doing this social media and you're already busy and you're happy doing your weddings and events and you've got enough work, then you've already kind of like reached the goal. But if you want to monetize your social media, or if you do want more clients and you're using social media as a platform to gain them, then yes, you're going to have to put some time into it. And why not choose social media as a marketing tool? Because it's free and everyone's doing it. Everyone's on it. So the talking to camera thing, I think, is if you're a makeup artist wanting to, you know, go down the path of creating content for brands or becoming an educator, whether it's an online educator where you need to be comfortable speaking to camera, or if it's literally, you know, you being able to articulate how to get from A to B, like whether it's talking to camera or not, it's all about just speaking in general. So I just think you need to choose which direction you're going with makeup. And I do think that your client really would love to know who you are, what you look like, you know, what's your vibe like, because that can also kind of make or break, and people will always form opinions and judgments on what that person may or may not be like. So it's kind of good to give them a bit of insight. Like, you see some makeup artists, you have to scroll so deep just to see what they look like. Everyone wants to see what their makeup artist looks like. It's like when you go to the hairdresser, you're looking at her hair to see, or his hair, what it's like, even though they probably didn't do their own hair. But it's the general thing. If you go to a makeup artist, you're looking at their makeup, you want to see how they do it, because that's the setting the bar for probably what you're going to get. So I do think it's good to have a little bit of like you and what you look like, and, you know, a little bit of personality online if you choose to.
I think that that's such a great point. And I mean, we haven't even really touched on it, because I would talk to you literally all day, every day, because I know that I could and I never run out of things to say. But I haven't talked about the liquid liner yet, but you launched that. I can't quite remember if that was 2020. It was like,
Yeah,
November, I think it was, because I think there were some delays and things, because I know it had been announced and obviously everything went to shit, and I don't have to go into any more detail on that because we all were there. But like, that's the perfect point, right? I've been following you for God knows how long. But when you launched that liquid liner, it made so much sense to me, because I know that your liquid liner on yourself is like your signature on yourself. So when that happened, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Do you know what I mean? I was like, that's going to be a great liquid liner, because you know that you would never, ever put your name on one that's a piece of shit just for the sake of creating a product line to sell to people. And so that is the perfect example of everything that you just said, because I already knew you, even though I've never met you in person, I already knew who you were by that point to be like, oh, of course. Whereas obviously sometimes we see celebrities slap their names on things that have like nothing to do with their personality, and you're like, So it's like, you know, your followers and your potential clients, I completely agree with you, do want to see who you are for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Love it. I'd never even thought about that. That's genius. I feel like you've got this genius marketing brain that nobody is that nobody is like appreciating or respecting enough. But like, I've just uncovered it, so now we know. Well, I've taken up just about enough of your time. I mean, like I said, I could talk to you all day. Just a few more questions, though. You have done makeup on so many incredible, beautiful women, like famous women. You traveled the world. You've done all of that. You've collaborated with some of like the biggest, greatest brands in the world, creatives in the world. What are some of the dream collaborations, if any, that you want to share, or dream projects that you still want to tick off your list? Like, what's something you really still want to do?
Well, I still want to obviously brand. I want to relaunch the liner, which is happening this year. For anyone that's listening, it did launch in November 2020, and then I discontinued it because I was having some manufacturing issues, because it wasn't coming up to my standard. Like, there were some faulty ones in the batches, so I'm remanufacturing that. So that's one thing that I want to tick off the list, and then add on certain cult products. I don't want to drop a whole range. I just want to drop really a signature cosmetic products that align with my artistry. So there's that. There's also obviously the online education. I did announce that I was going to have an online makeup academy, but then I've just become so overwhelmed by all the content that I need to create and the time that I have to invest into that. So I'm not going down that path, because I don't think I would enjoy it, and then therefore I don't think it would be very successful if you're not enjoying what you're doing. So I'm just filming more online masterclasses. So that's what I'll be doing: products and online education.
So the online masterclasses, will they be similar to the ones that you do in person, like the kind of content creation or the bridal ones?
I'll probably do a couple of live ones of those, because I feel like they're far too long to be just a recording. And I like the idea of like people being able to interact like instantly and ask questions and stuff like that. Whereas these online classes, like I already had a few that I filmed maybe 4 years ago, and that's what I'm kind of modeling now. And I just filmed one yesterday, but it'll be key broken down looks. So I think a whole face video, you lose, there'll be some people that will definitely want that and love that. But I sometimes think that shorter things are a little bit better to retain and, like, you know, not lose focus on. So it'll be a specific eye look, a skin look, and just really broken down pieces of the face so that you can purchase, like, oh, I want to learn how to do luminous skin, I'm going to get that video. I want to learn how to do wing shadow, we'll buy that one. So it'll all be very broken down, but you can use them all together.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I mean, I read a statistic yesterday, and of course I can't remember it, but it's something like Gen Z's attention span now, like for scrolling, so if you're on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, is 1.3 seconds. So I think it sounds like a very good career move for you. I know it's fucked to kind of break it down into littler pieces, because, you know, people are just are consuming shorter form content, whether that even be educational or not. Like,
yes.
Otherwise it can even be too overwhelming. You're like, oh my God, I've got to do hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and I don't know which bit's going to be where. Whereas I could be like, I just really need some tips on skin, because I feel like I feel stale. Like, I want to brush up, you know? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool. Yeah. And finally, what advice, because you have so much hashtag shit, Connie says, what advice would you give to an aspiring artist who is at the beginning of their journey today, with the landscape of everything that we know about social media today, with artistry being pretty saturated industry? There's a lot of us there. Makeup retail is huge. Is there anything that stands out to you? Like, if you had a teenager come up to you, I want to be just like you, what would you tell them?
Well, yeah, if they were wanting to follow in my particular footsteps, then, you know, in terms of growing like their brand and social media and stuff like that and collabing with brands, then you need to obviously focus first on your artistry, which means practicing. And counter experience is amazing for that. I worked at MAC for 3 months when the Gold Coast store opened. And I personally hated retail, but like, it is such a good learning ground for speed and obviously like working on all different face shapes and eye shapes and nationalities and ages and things like that. So you need to be doing makeup constantly. I'm pretty much living and breathing makeup. Like, when I was starting out, I was doing my day job like Monday to Friday. I was working in that strip club in the night after every day shift, and then I would do weddings and photo shoots every weekend, and sometimes I'd do photo shoots before I would go to my day job, like at sunrise, like, in, you know, getting up at like 2:30, 3 a.m. going to my day job. So you do have to put in the hard yards. It's definitely not an industry that's going to fall into your lap, but I watch makeup artists that really apply themselves and they're consistent, and you can watch them evolve and get bigger and bigger. So always working on your artistry, definitely assist where you can, because it's something that I didn't do. And my knowledge that I've had to gain has been, I guess, slow tracked instead of fast tracked, because I've had to learn everything my way, like just through trial and error. Whereas you can obviously fast track. If someone was assisting me, I imagine all the things that I could teach them, like, whereas I just had to come out, work it out myself. So assisting for sure. And, you know, education, like doing masterclasses, whether it's online or actually attending the masterclasses. And then from that, once your artistry is at a level or even building up to that level, it's all about the content. Like, if you're wanting to follow in my footsteps, I was using Facebook back when it first started as my platform to showcase my work. I was using MySpace actually, using MySpace before Facebook as my way to sell model portfolios for people to book me as their makeup artist. I was using it back then. So it's all about creating good content, you know, getting great faces to work on and creating content that really stands out. And, you know, for various reasons, you could have models that are very diverse. You could have models that are all different ages. They don't have to be a model. You can showcase before and after transformations as well. Videos, unfortunately, you're going to have to be a bit of a videographer, like, as well. So doing all of those things, I think that it definitely, it's content, knowing your lighting. Yeah. content is where it's at. And I used to use like every day off I had, I would do content.
Well, where there's a will, there's a way. And I will say for sure, I feel very inspired at the end of this chat that I'm like, you know what? I haven't done a content day in a little while.
It's fun.
I think I've been a little bit lazy. I've been a little bit lazy in winter with all that sort of shit. So it's time for me to pick up my game, and no one better to take the inspo from. It is fun. So thank you so much, Mia Connor.
Thanks for having me, Bash. Thank you so much.
Isn't Mia such a legend? What a great chat. Also, sorry, I forgot to mention this in the intro, but my cat sat on my lap for the entire duration of the podcast, and I really should have mentioned that at the beginning that maybe you would hear her purring. I don't know if you can hear it at all, but like I think she's almost like 15, maybe she's almost 16, and she has gotten so excessively needy in her old age. And I was like, sis, don't you know that I'm talking to Mia Connor, somebody I've literally admired for like almost a decade? What are you doing? Like, you never pay me attention. Why now? Why? But I know that even if you did hear little June meowing away, I know that you got just as much out of that episode as I did. It was really a pinch me moment to be sitting across from Mia, even virtually, and getting to ask her everything I have always wanted to know about how she built her phenomenal career that we just know, just between you and me. We know that her career is just going to flourish even more and more in ways we can't even imagine. I would love to take an inside look at her brain and up her sleeve, because God knows, Mia Connor, she's got a plan and she is going to wow us. Now, these were kind of hard to pick, but these are my top two takeaways from this chat with Mia. Number one, sometimes the best things in life are living outside of your comfort zone. Never in a million years would I have expected to hear that Mia was so nervous when she was about to give one of her first demos or masterclasses or whatever it was called at the Beauty Expo with Crown Brushes. Never in a million years would she have thought that Ray Morris was going to offer her help either. But look, imagine, just imagine, right? If she let the tears and let the fear and let the anxiety get the better of her and said, oh, you know, educating isn't for me. I'm too scared of public speaking. I'm not going to do it. What would her life look like now? If she didn't take the Valium, shout out to Valium, apparently the sponsor of this episode. It's been a big week, guys. But if she didn't take the Valium or do whatever it is that she needed to do to be able to get through those initial nerves and just like push through that fear, she would have never overcome it. And she would have never become the educator who has traveled to almost every corner of this earth, building up other artists and their skills. So, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of that you want to do in this career? Because if it scares the shit out of you, it might just be your very best adventure. Number two, social media is more than just your business, it's your brand. This is a big distinction I feel like potentially deserves its own episode, but think about it. Social media is, you know, good for your business because it helps you get clients as a makeup artist and whatever, and you might be able to kind of just like muddle your way through that way. But if it's your brand, you're telling people, who are you? What makes you tick? What makes you different? What do you share with others that others don't? Like, what do you share with your audience that other people don't talk about? Like, what is your point of difference? I have always read Mia's hashtag shit Connie says captions because there's always something a little bit interesting to read in there. And I never really thought about it, that reading that caption, whatever it might be about, is actually keeping me on her content longer. And just as a side note, anything that keeps you on Instagram or TikTok longer, TikTok is really into that, they're going to reward that. So my mind was literally blown in real time because I thought about it. Mia has built her personality and her personal signature style so well over the last few years that by the time she launched her product, the eyeliner in 2020, it just made so much sense to me as one of her followers, and it instantly boosted my confidence as a customer to buy it. Now, this takeaway might be a little bit too marketing heavy. This is what I'm talking about. Maybe this is a good solo episode to have a crack at. And maybe some of you guys just aren't at this point yet, but I think the sooner we can share more of ourselves for who we are as people, as well as artists, what we think, what we like, what we don't like, we might sooner find our light. Well, that's it. I feel like my intro and outro today has been so unhinged. Oh my God. Another episode in the pocket, another episode in your ears, another episode that will hopefully reach more artists who want to join this little community that you're building. If you enjoyed the episode, please, 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 please share it on your stories. I actually noticed that Alex's episode a fortnight ago got so many story shares that I think it actually really helped, you know, new people discover the podcast. So if you even love me a lot and you want to give me a great pat on the back, go leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, because again, it just helps more people discover the show. And that's only going to be good for all of us. Now, something also I want to mention, if you're still one of the two people listening, one of whom's probably my mum, keep your eyes peeled on St. Jack's Instagram stories, because I have a very fun idea for a podcast that involves all of us, right? All of us as makeup artists as a group. And I specifically need your help to make it happen, right? I'm actually going to be asking you for help to make this podcast episode happen. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I will be announcing that and putting that on stories really soon and how you can do that for me. But in the meantime, you can follow along with all of my antics. And oh my God, there were antics this week on my social media. You can find St. Jack on Instagram. That's at by St. Jack. That's by St. Jack. St. Jack on TikTok is at St. Jack Cosmetics. And you can follow me, the man, the myth, the Daily Mail legend, at BethWilson_MUA on Instagram and TikTok. Let's see how else I can get myself into some hot water in the international press this week. But until then, I'll see you on the next one. Bye.